because it's a big simplification, I think, compared to April. And then we have, in fact, an acceptable way of defining it. With this, I think we can start with the second part of item three and the nice list of stations. Hubs, I should say.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, and this is just to give a quick introduction. We have in the annex to document number nine the actual text that would appear in annex three of the modification to the, well, in the future annex three of the AGC and therefore its modification. The text includes some introductory explanatory text and notes. This is very small and very simplistic in terms of the explanatory notes. This is very much to be in line with how the other annexes of the AGC are introduced, let's say. This is the list that we discussed and agreed at the last session with some final modifications introduced to reflect that. Of course, if there are other changes that need to be made during the session, this is very much welcomed by the Secretariat, and we'd be very much happy to introduce them into the final document that goes to SC2, the final annex, the final new annex 3 that goes to SC2. What I will say is that assuming contracting parties at the Working Party on Rail Transport adopt these modifications to the AGC in November of this year, once they are then notified and entered into force, etc., etc., using the normal process which we have for our treaties, which I'm very happy to go into more detail and explain if that is necessary, these changes become part of the AGC. They become part of the AGC, but the AGC itself is also a I was going to say dynamic, but dynamic is maybe taking it a bit too far. It remains a modifiable document and a modifiable legal instrument as per the provisions in Article 12, if I'm not mistaken, of the AGC itself. So at any time going forward, any contracting party to the AGC